We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Following an unprecedented interruption of all of our lives, we'll see what is the latest with BGSU Athletics, with Athletic Director Bob Moosbrugger on this edition of the Ziggy Cast.
This is the BGSU Ziggy Cast from Learfield, your home for Falcons updates, interviews, previews, and highlights. Now, here is your host, Todd Walker.
Time now to welcome in Director of Athletics at Bowling Green State University, Bob Moosbrugger, and uncharted waters is an understatement as college athletics, along with everybody else and everything else, has been thrown into turmoil with the COVID-19 lockdowns and the disruption of everything. So we're going to visit with Moose and get his feelings on what's happening and how BGSU can move forward. Bob, we appreciate you coming on with us.
Thanks for having me, Todd. I appreciate it, and well said. It's certainly affecting everyone. It is not just affecting BGSU athletics, the athletics world. This is affecting everyone, especially our university and the general public at large.
Well, let's start with the academic side of it, not just for the athletes, but for every student at BGSU and many other universities and schools. The school year, the semester is ongoing, but nobody's on campus, so it's all being done remotely. And while we're all used to doing many things remotely nowadays, this is quite an undertaking. Just talk about how that has been set up for not just the athletes, but all the students at BG.
You're right. It absolutely is a huge undertaking, and kudos to our university administration, our provost office, and our faculty who have jumped on board and probably canceled their own spring break plans and determined how to get all these classes online for the benefit of our students. And it's still a work in progress, still kinks to be worked out, but from the reports, I talked to a men's golfer yesterday, and he said it's smooth sailing for him, and everything's working out fine. And you know, again, it's the university, and it's our business, but those public schools, my kids are sitting at home, and for all the public schools to go online within a week's notice is pretty impressive work by everybody. So it's a different feel. You're always concerned about when when you're not in a classroom and listening to a professor give the lecture, the ability to ask questions in that moment. How are these student athletes and students in general going to fare versus the in-class learning? So we're paying attention to that. We're making sure our academic advisors, our coaches, they're all working with our student athletes to ensure that they finish this semester strong and keep up those great grades, because academics is what they're here for first and foremost.
Well, Bob, before we look at where things are and what might be happening for the future, let's revisit a little bit, as painful as it is, the 2 days that you were in Cleveland, I'm presuming, because that's where you usually are for the MAC tournament. The ADs are there and meeting, and it was, of course, going with the assumption that the MAC basketball tournament was going to continue, but with limited or no fans. And then within a span of hours that Thursday morning, it seemed like the whole world postponed or canceled their events, and that's sort of what happened with the MAC tournament. Take us back to that very impactful 24 hours, or maybe less, when all that played out.
Thanks for reliving that for me. It started Wednesday. I took off from Bowling Green about mid-afternoon, headed over to Cleveland, and was driving over there talking to athletic directors in our hockey league, actually. In the WCHA, our hockey team was in Minneapolis at the time, getting ready to head to Bemidji to play in the best of three series versus Bemidji, and the winner of that would play a one-game winner-take-all championship the following Saturday. And the other semifinals was Minnesota State and Michigan Tech, and the four ADs, the league, were on the phone discussing the possibilities. Again, the MAC had already made the decision to shut it down to fans. In Minnesota, they were not quite there yet. And so myself and the Michigan Tech AD were discussing how the MAC made that decision, why in the best interest of public health we made that decision, and why we felt, the Michigan Tech AD and myself, felt that the Minnesota schools should also shut it down to just immediate family and play in front of a very small crowd just for public health reasons. As you may imagine, there was some discussion going back and forth of that, because we are our hockey league, just like the MAC as well. You know, we need that revenue from the fans and what that meant. But at the end of the day, we moved forward. We were going to play the semifinals in front of just family only, and move forward in that direction. And then also we made the decision that we were, instead of going to play a best of three series for hockey, we would play a one game semifinal on Friday night, and then on Sunday we would play a one game championship game in the WCHA. And so that was Wednesday night. Heading into Thursday morning, the Mid-American Conference ADs, we gathered at 8 a.m. More information kept coming in. We started having we had a regular scheduled meeting set. The agenda was thrown out the window, and all we did was talk about the tournament and keeping that going, because a lot of conferences, and John Steinbrecher does a great job for our league, staying in communication with the NCAA and other leagues, and some other leagues were starting to talk about shutting it down based on information. And the information that we had was the NBA player Rudy Gobert, the Utah Jazz player, who the night before on Wednesday night tested positive for coronavirus, had played in the building, Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse, 10 days prior to us starting the MAC tournament. And the MAC tournament started on that Wednesday. Women's team played 4 games on that Wednesday. So that Thursday morning when we're meeting as ADs, the CEO of the Cleveland Cavaliers came in and discussed the precautions precautions that the arena has done. They've gone through a deep cleaning. They, you know, Rudy and the Utah Jazz were there 10 days before. Since that time, the building had undergone, I think they had 5 different events since that time. They cleaned the building 5 different times. The staff that was in close contact with the Utah Jazz and Rudy were no longer there. They were told to work from home. The locker room that the Utah Jazz used was taken offline, so no one was using that locker room any longer. And so once we got past all that information, we talked about how do we ensure that we are not putting, you know, our players, our student athletes, our coaches, the officials in jeopardy. So we talked about prior to going to the arena, each team would take the temperature and examine each student athlete, each coach, each manager to ensure that no one was showing signs of the symptoms of the coronavirus. And so we talked about that. The Mid-American Conference Commissioner John Steinbrecher got on the phone with the presidents. He had scheduled a conference call with the presidents. The presidents chimed in as well, and we were moving forward with the tournament. We the athletic director and the sport administrator, in our case, that's Kit Hughes, we were instructed, each team, each school was instructed to talk to their team and make sure that each student-athlete individually talked with them, so there was no peer pressure. Each student-athlete felt comfortable with playing, and, you know, that it was a personal decision for them. So we started having those conversations when I got a phone call, said, come over to the arena. And as another AD was walking over to the arena, the news started breaking that some other tournaments were shutting down. And by the time we got to the arena, we were told the Mid-American Conference tournament was shutting down as well.
And if I recall how that day was playing out in that time, didn't the governor have a little bit more of a forceful statement about not playing it at all? I mean, at that time, there was still the thought about, as you said, playing with limited fans or maybe no fans. And then I seem to recall the governor put out a statement or an order that he wasn't going to allow it or something to that regard. Did that play in the timeline?
I don't recall him making that statement prior to us making that decision. You know, I know, again, John was in contact with other commissioners. I forget which other league decided they were shutting down. We decided to shut down. We gathered for another meeting after that shutdown, after John Steinbrecher's press conference, and we were sitting there watching the first half of the Big East tournament game, and then they went to halftime, and they made the announcement at halftime that they were shutting down. So there was obviously a lot of factors going in, a lot of information coming in from various sources, health department. John Steinbrecher, again, doing a great job, was on, you know, because those the first 3 cases were in Cuyahoga County, where we were. So John was on the line with the medical director for Cuyahoga County and making sure that we were good to play. But as more information came in nationally and I think locally as well, the decision was made to pull the plug.
Well, then, of course, I'm assuming that it fell onto you and or Coach Huger and or Kit to gather the team and tell them that their season was over. And that was for a team that really had ideas about winning that tournament. I can't imagine that was a pleasant duty.
Yeah, unfortunately, I was over in the arena, and obviously the news was breaking on social media, so all the players knew. So they went ahead and gathered the team together. Coach Huger did address the team and tell them that the tournament was being shut down. And as you can imagine, a lot of disappointment. You're right. Even though the end of the season wasn't what we wanted it to be, we felt we had the ability to win this tournament. And that was our mission. And our guys were really focused on going out and proving that they could win this tournament. And so there's that initial disappointment for sure. And then there's the reality that, listen, this is bigger than sports. This is bigger than Bowling Green basketball, bigger than Mid-American Conference basketball. This is a national public health concern, and our student-athletes are great representatives of the university, and they understood why we had to make those decisions.
Well, now that all this has played out, of course, everybody's in a holding pattern, and for BG Athletics, like everybody, the spring season is basically washed away and not happening, so the next order of business, and this will come from the NCAA, is there's a lot of sentiment for another year of eligibility for those who are in spring sports. And there are even some saying that the winter athletes should get another year of eligibility. What are your thoughts on those two things?
So going back to that day, that Thursday, as we packed up things and I stayed in Cleveland to watch the governor's press conference and then packed up my hotel room and left back for Bowling Green, we were going to have a, I think it was a 4 o'clock conference call, Mid-American Conference ADs again, and later that afternoon the decision was made to shut down the spring sports as well. And there were some teams that were already out on the road that we had to call and have come back. So it was a wild 48 hours that Wednesday and that Thursday. So, yes, spring sports, the season of competition, will the NCAA approve that waiver to allow these spring sports student-athletes another year of competition? If I'm a betting man, I would say yes, they're going to allow that. What that means to us financially, to their grant and aid, remains to be seen. You know, it's not, while their season of competition this year has been taken away, unfortunately, their grant aid has not been taken away right now. They're still in school. They're still doing their schoolwork. They're still, still provided that grant aid that they're on right now. So it remains to be seen what during that fifth year that they may have to participate, what the grant and aid situation would be. So I think within the next few days to a week, the NCAA will rule on that, and we can continue to work through that process.
Is it your feeling then that by omitting talking about the winter sports that they're not going to get another year of eligibility? Is that your feeling on that?
I'm sorry if I omitted that, but certainly that's a part of the conversation. I think the national feeling is that the winter sports, while it certainly was painful for them to lose the ability to play in the championship, they had played in 90% of their season. So I do not, if I'm a betting man,
right,
I don't believe that the winter sports would get another year.
Now, looking at the spring sports, if all those athletes are granted an extra year of eligibility, a fifth year, as you would say, the fact of the matter is that adds a whole layer of scholarships for all of those sports for those athletes. So that may lead to some issues of maybe having to either raise roster limits or the maximum number of scholarships allowed to keep the team whole. Or, I mean, there are a lot of complications with that, aren't there?
Yeah, definitely. The devil's in the details, as we always say. And what with roster limits, like you said, baseball is one where there is a lot roster limit of 35, with 27 of those student athletes on aid, can be on aid. And certainly each team has a set of seniors in the baseball program, the softball program, the tennis program knows, well, I know these three seniors are leaving, so next year's recruiting class I'm bringing in three freshmen to replace them and replace that aid that they're on. And now if these seniors stay and they have their grant and aid, then you have a challenge because those freshmen are still coming. And we certainly want to provide that opportunity for that freshman class. So those are challenges that we'll have to continue to work through. And we're talking about not just the seniors. This is seniors through freshmen. Each one of those kids lost a year of competition. So that is the national discussion right now, is to award freshmen through seniors another year. And over a four-year period, so if you take our current teams, baseball, softball, men's and women's golf, track and field, women's tennis, if you take those sports, right now, this fiscal year, we're providing $1.3 million worth of scholarships to those sports. So over the next 4 years, that's an additional $1.3 that we would have to pay out, or possibly pay out for the extra year of scholarships.
And I guess just sort of taking that to its logical conclusion, and not just at Bowling Green, but at a lot of schools, especially those that aren't Power Five or that aren't very well healed, that there are going to probably be some athletes that are invited to play a fifth year or an extra year, but maybe not with the scholarship they had before. I mean, that's just sort of a stark reality that could happen.
You're good at your job. That's the logical next question. How do we pay for that? How do we manage that? And again, like I said earlier, you know, those student athletes currently are still on their grant and aid. So they, and a grant and aid, you know, typically is a 4-year process. So is that fifth year? Can we afford to give them a scholarship for that fifth year, or do they want to continue on playing their sport that they love without the benefit of a grant and aid scholarship that fifth year? And if, you know, quite frankly, I would assume a lot of these kids will be graduating after 4 years. So that fifth year, you know, they would have the ability to be a grad transfer to somewhere else. And that brings up another case of, you know, the transfer rule that would go in effect in the future, whether or not the NCAA even votes on it this summer or decides to allow transfers immediate eligibility at the next school that they transfer to. So that's a whole different story. But the Mid-American Conference schools, the ADs that I've talked to and been on the phone with many conference calls over the last few days, is we're all scratching our heads trying to figure out the finances of this and how will we be able to make this work. Will we even be able to make this work?
Yeah, I think the thing for fans and people that follow this just to be aware of is that there may be some difficult choices that may end up being unpopular, or really choices that you don't want to make that end up may having to make them anyway. So we certainly will keep an eye on that. And the other thing to think about with all the universities, but specifically with Bowling Green, you don't have students on campus, and even though they're still enrolled and tuition is being collected and all that, there are other things that the university is losing revenue as well, and that redounds onto every department, including yours, moving forward, correct?
Correct. University still in discussion in regards to housing and dining. Those costs or the revenue generated from that, obviously our students are no longer on campus. I think last I heard this week we were down to less than 100 kids still in the dorms. So I would expect there's some sort of refund coming, and that is lost revenue for the university for both the housing and the dining portion of it, and certainly lost revenue for our community of Bowling Green. Those students are economic driver here in our community, and it certainly hurts for them not to be on campus. And so we definitely miss them in more ways than one. So, the tough decisions are coming. Again, we're still trying to wrap our head around what all this really means, the NCAA lost the men's basketball tournament, which quite frankly is a huge revenue producer for the NCAA that pays the bills for a lot of other sports and championships. So that $700 million loss, what does that mean to each individual university? And so we're anxiously awaiting what that means to us, what the NCAA distribution, which typically in a given year for Bowling Green State University is about $1.3 million as well, what that $1.3 million is going to look like this fiscal year.
Well, as we move into a period of uncertainty, Bob, clearly every university and athletic program is going to look to its supporters even more as time moves on, and not just monetarily, but in many other ways. And all the great Falcon fans and supporters out there, it's going to be of the utmost importance moving forward that we find a way to band together and help the athletic department and the athletes through this. And I know that'll be the focus as well once we get a sort of a schedule of when we can move back to normalcy here.
Yeah, your last comment there, normalcy. And while it's near and dear to my heart here in athletics and how this affects our student athletes, you know, there's bigger issues than athletics. And for us, we certainly hope, we know we're all in this together. At some point, the time will be right that our fans, our alumni, our donors will once again contribute to us and support our mission of, you know, providing a great student athlete experience for these kids. But right now is not the top of mind. Making sure we get through this public health crisis is front and center. Making sure our student athletes have the resources that they need to transition to this online learning environment, and make sure that everyone, you know, is taken care of. A lot of mental health stress in all of this, and so we got to keep that front of mind, and we'll work through all the other things as they come.
Well said, Bob. And, you know, here on the Ziggy Cast, moving forward, we're going to post some highlights and some good stuff that's happened with BGSU Athletics to sort of lift our mood. And with that, I look back in the archives for some Bob Moosbrugger BGSU baseball highlights. Coach Schmitz is going to give me some old film. What you think that, and people would enjoy that?
I don't think there are one. There's not any film. Two, there weren't many highlights. However, since you're a WBL guy, you can go back and, you know, look up. There's some videos out there, and I actually I don't know why it came up, but my sons and I were talking about it. So we watched a little Bobby Moosbrugger back in the day.
Nice.
So we're trying to keep it light, like you said, bring back some highlights of certainly people in moments in time of Bowling Green State University athletics, to keep, try to keep it a little bit lighter, keep people positive, because a lot of people are under a lot of stress nowadays. Yeah. And, you know, that's what we've always said about sports. Hopefully, as I talk to students on campus, we can provide you with 2 to 3 hours of come over to one of our athletic events and have some fun, cheer on our team, hang out with your resident hallmates and come over and relax a little bit. And that's what we're missing right now, the ability, even though sports can be stressful for those of us that their lives depend on 18 and 22 year old kids performing. It can be stressful, but the joy of winning a game, and every win is so hard, so you relish that, and you certainly we're grateful for what we do have. We're grateful for our health. And one day we'll get back to the normalcy of having teams to cheer on. So if you can provide us some highlights, you probably won't find any of Bobby Moosbrugger at BGSU baseball. Maybe I can give you a few pictures. That's some still pictures that you can animate and make it exciting. But I appreciate all you're doing with the Ziggy Cast and keeping our fans, we've got to keep them interested in BGSU athletics, because we'll be back, and we want, obviously our fans to come back. But right now, certainly a huge disruption to our daily lives.
Now I'll go over to Salina and find some Moosbrugger highlights and maybe pass those along to folks as time permits. Bob, we appreciate your efforts, and we wish everybody the best. Everybody stay safe, and hopefully soon we'll be back to full-time BGSU athletics. So hang in there.
No, I appreciate it, Todd, and I'll send you a direct link so you don't have to look so far.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you, Todd. Appreciate it.
Thanks to Bob Moosbrugger for joining us, and as I was indicating with him, we are going to post a couple or three Ziggy casts every week here moving forward with some highlights of BGSU past glory to try and lift our spirits during this time of being shut in, and hopefully at some time soon trying to ramp things back up to normal. So we'll be here to try to lift your spirits with some BGSU past glory. So keep it here on the Ziggy Cast, and remember to tell all your BGSU friends and to download it through all the usual ways and rate us 5 stars. Help us spread the word about the Ziggy Cast. Until next time, this is Todd Walker saying I Ziggy Zumba.
Thanks for listening to the BGSU Ziggy Cast. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review however you listen. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.